Everyone, welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Konnichiwa, minna.
And girls.
Hey.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Samurai Showdown, the motion picture, aka Samurai Spirits, Hatten Goma no Shou, a movie from 1994. I chose this one because it's been on the list for a long time.
I'd argue everything has been on the list for a long time, except for the newly released ones.
I mean, we've been doing this podcast for a long time. Yeah, it was among the first things that I put on the list, but I kept moving it down the list because it was kind of similar to other things that we covered, and like I want to stop covering them for a bit. And to that fact, it was animated by Studio Comet, the studio behind Fatal Fury, Legend of the Hungry Wolf, and Art of Fighting, and Fatal Fury 2, The New Battle, all of which we covered for this podcast.
Did we cover all of their anime by now?
No, they've still got some stuff we haven't done, I believe. Not like those studios that have only done one thing, which was the thing we were covering. Samurai Showdown, the motion picture, currently has an analyst score of 50%.
And here is where we can end the podcast.
Samurai Showdown is a series of fighting games released between 1993 and 2019 on basically every platform except for the current generation. A Neo Geo collection was also released in 2020. It's had some manga, this movie, two different OVAs, but those were based on other games in the series. Will we cover those too? Probably.
Oh, no, I mean, oh, that's for the end of the podcast.
One's a visual novel.
Okay, I'm back in.
It got a fan translation. My short synopsis is, can the holy warriors get a do-over and win against evil? Artura, what do you have?
The holy swordsmen fight against the dark god Ambrosia goes awry, though the heroes save their souls in hopes of fighting in another incarnation.
And goes?
Witnesses a bunch of interesting characters with ink stories, goals, and motivations are reduced to stupid. And here is where I wanted to end, but I continue. Stupid Captain Planet team that's supposed to save the world.
Okay, we begin in February 1638 at the Battle of Shimbara. But we cut from Japan to Chaco Boreal in South America, aka Green Hell, then to Xi'an, China, then Versailles, France, then San Francisco, America in 1638. But the Spanish didn't arrive in the area until 1769. There was a mission established in California in 1638, but in a different part of California. It was nowhere near San Francisco.
I love that you shared all that information. Like, I know it's a really random side note, but it's just really fun to know.
You heard it here first. Samurai Showdown is not a historical document.
No wonder it got a 5.
Come for the anime, stay for the history lesson.
Come for the anime, leave because the history lesson wasn't accurate. Not at the dark god Ambrosia.
In any case, people are concerned about the seal and, you know, the earthquakes that they're all experiencing. A cloud shaped like a skull condenses above the Shimbara battlefield and lightning strikes a pagoda. This causes it to, the pagoda itself, that is, to use heat rays to cook everyone, and then the building explodes. There's, presumably, time passes, and Kaomaru searches the scorched earth looking for Shiro, but finds God instead.
Ow.
It's a pillar of flame. It's just a pillar of flame that condenses into a person, but it's not my fault the Bible mentions this specific thing.
I thought it was pillar of salt and burning bush.
No, it turns people into burning salt, appears as a pillar of fire and as a burning bush.
Oh, shit.
Two different parts of the Bible.
Please tell us more about Christian lore.
Anyway, the pillar of flame condenses into Shiro, who Haomaru accuses of betraying them and breaking the seals of Ambrosia. They argue it a little. Apparently, they were supposed to be guarding the seals because Ambrosia is a dark god, and she attempts to kill him, but is interrupted by the other holy warriors who have circumnavigated the planet and all managed to arrive at the same time. From France, from California, from China. Okay, from China to Japan is a lot closer than from France, but still. They all attack, so she sets them on fire.
Naturally.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Their souls turn into orbs and escape, and Shiro vows to kill them when they return to life in 100 years.
Why 100 years?
Because that's how long it takes to reincarnate.
Why not like tomorrow?
Actually, it takes less than 100 years to reincarnate, because you reincarnate and then by year 100, you have reached the same age as when you died. It seems.
No. You come out of your mother's womb as an adult.
Oh, Lord, I hated that image. What happens to the umbilical cord in that case?
I mean, Haomaru has a katana, so he just cuts it off.
Did he come out from his mother with the katana?
Yes.
It was in a scabbard.
Oh, that makes it so much better, Ace Lister.
I mean, 100 years later, he has the same clothes and the same sword. So he was burned to like nothing. So you have to assume that Rey incarnated with them.
Anyway, we get the title card and then the time skip to 100 years later to some random town where a charging bull is menacing the town. So Haomaru wrestles it.
Naturally. I was actually thinking about the parallels between that and the Twilight Princess Link, who does something similar. Well, not the Link, but there in Twilight Princess, there's like this mayor who wrestles the bull without anything. And I was like, yeah, that's normal. And then so when this happened, I was like, yeah, that's normal.
Three of the holy warriors are gathered watching people in the street when their attentions are drawn to a dojo where Haomaru is kicking everyone's ass. He wins one last match and takes the dojo's sign as a trophy, which the others seem to say that disqualifies him from joining them. We cut to Edo Castle where Shiro is giving some henchmen a pep talk. She asks Shogun Yoshimune if there is any news about the Holy Warriors, which he confirms. She says that she'll send the army after them, then spots someone spying on their gathering, but allows them to escape.
That's a confusing thing, because one of the henchmen says, like, he'll send Hanzo to do something, but then Hanzo is spying on them, like, I don't get it. Like, is he on their side or is he not on their side? Do they know he's not on their side? But she sees him spying on them.
I imagine since I didn't know his name at that point, I did not realize that that's what they said. We cut to the end of Senryo's Kabuki show, where Jubei and Hanzo meet him backstage. Hanzo was the spy and tells the others that he was spotted, but Shiro fears six holy warriors, whoever they are. Also, this is the only time in my notes I refer to Senryo. I am not sure if he actually appeared later.
Hanzo is also a cyborg for some reason.
Yes, his voice did have that kind of voice going. We cut back to Haomaru, who is showing off his signs to some kids, so they ask him to deal with a wasp's nest that is affecting the village. He does this in the very normal way of hitting every single wasp with a stick one by one.
Wait, in English dub it's bees.
No, in the English dub it was hornets, and then he calls them wasps as well.
No, I heard him specifically say bees, so now I'm super confused.
Maybe when he's explaining it to his mum, he called it bee.
Maybe.
But yeah, they said hornets and wasps. So I just went with wasps.
Same thing, I'm sure.
Bees. I thought birds. dragons. They're the same thing, right?
Exactly.
The striped thing, yellow and black, that's a dragon.
Hamaru, however, misses one, and it stings him, which is the worst pain he's ever experienced. So, yeah, hornets. Like, a wasp sting hurts, but it's not, like, a hornet's sting is much worse.
Yeah, also, don't wasps die when they sting you?
No, that's bees.
Okay, I'm starting to realize the problem is with Gorus.
Well, I got confused by all the names they used for them.
Yeah, they didn't help themselves. Later, he tells his mum about it, and she tells him that a nearby village is offering him a reward for dealing with a bear. The reward will be a woman. Being a feminist, he refuses because women aren't property. Okay, he actually says he doesn't want a wife, he would prefer sake.
So, the actual sentence for that is, being an alcoholic.
He leaves to deal with the bear, and runs into Goro's mum. Goro being someone who disappeared 2 years ago, as apparently have other people been doing. Later, he kills the bear and returns to the village, finding it under attack by the Dark Army and a fat guy called Earthquake.
Fitting.
Goro's mum is menaced by one of the army, and she manages to knock their mask off, revealing Goro. And then she dies. Hamaru fights everyone, including Earthquake, which unlocks his Super Saiyan God form, which is enough to kill Earthquake. Two figures nearby hear the commotion and go to check it out, finding Hamaru, who they were actually looking for. Hamaru finds his dying mother, who decides that now is the perfect time to tell him he's adopted, as she found him in the woods one day.
Hamaru, before I die, my final words. You're adopted. Dies. It's like, I'm sorry that that's the last thing you chose to say to me, Mom.
Like, he's 27. Should you not have told him by now?
I knew I would find the right time eventually. You think this is the right time?
It's the last time. Later, Hamaru has buried everyone when he's approached by Nakaruru and Tam Tam. Why didn't they come earlier? Well, they went to get the others. Galford, Charlotte, Wanfu, and a dog.
So, I have a question about the dog. Because my subtitles were saying his name was Poppy. But I'm pretty sure that they just called the dog in Japanese. Like, in Japanese, it's very normal to borrow English names. So I thought he was saying puppy, not Poppy. And then my subtitle said Poppy. And I was like, now I don't know what's true.
In the dub, he says puppy.
Yes, I was right.
My question about the dog is, did the dog reincarnated?
So did the dog come out fully formed from his mother?
I mean, the dog is like the blue guy, the blonde guy's sidekick. So I assume the dog just came out with him.
Yeah, doesn't Tam Tam have a hawk or a falcon? Anyway, Charlotte wonders why Hamaru doesn't recognize them. I wonder why they didn't recognize him if he's supposed to know them already, because they met in town. They explain the plot so far to him, which causes Hamaru to power up and teleport away. The Holy Warriors give chase, but are intercepted by more of Shiro's men. Galford opts to stay and fight them, while the others resume the pursuit. And so we cut to Edo Castle, where Shiro is watching Hamaru's approach through a crystal ball. Back at the fight, Galford deals with the enemy and is approached by Jubei, who has some kind of proposition for him. We cut instead to the rest of the Holy Warriors arriving at Edo Castle, where they fight the foot soldiers. Galford and Jubei arrive to help, but Hamaru has already entered the castle itself. Charlotte follows and tries to convince Hamaru to turn back, but they're both captured by Shiro. Hamaru attacks Shiro, who counterattacks, but Charlotte jumps in the way of the attack. The others join them shortly, being teleported into bindings. Not sure why the other two weren't. And then suddenly an earthquake hits as Ambrosia is awoken. Edo Castle crumbles, and the ground tears apart as a massive form rises from underground. It's the fortress of Ankushin Ambrosia, aka Evil God Castle. Now, historical fact, in 1738, this did not happen.
No way!
And how many castles in history are called Evil God Castle?
Shiro goads Haomaru, who powers up and attacks, despite the other warriors and Shiro herself saying that she wants him angry. The warriors use fire, despite their bindings, to create a hole in the wall, which allows Charlotte to tackle Haomaru through it before it seals itself. They inexplicably land in the ruins of Haomaru's old village, where the kids from earlier are still alive.
At that point, it turned into Kingdom Hearts, and because I couldn't tell what was happening and why it was happening.
Stuff's happening because it needs to happen for the story. There's a time skip of a week, and Haomaru is still in a coma, but the Dark Army is slowly getting closer. And then very quickly getting closer. Shiro is able to communicate with Haomaru's comatose mind, which is weakening him. So Charlotte decides to merge her soul with his.
Kingdom Hearts bullshit. Did Tetsuya Nomura write this?
Shiro explains that she betrayed the Holy Warriors because one of the generals of their army betrayed her. So as she was dying, she performed the ritual to break the seal. Betrayal begets betrayal. Charlotte arrives just in time to interrupt Shiro, but outside, the enemy has found the water mill where they're hiding. Luckily, that's when Hanzo and some people arrive to defend the water mill. Haomaru is tempted by the promise of power enough to kill Shiro, but Charlotte manages to get through to him, at least in the dub. The voices of the kids does it in the sub, which is much better than him just staring with tense music for, what is it, 45 seconds?
Yeah, that was quite long.
See, because the English version and the Japanese version were of different lengths, I wanted to... I watched them side by side, literally. I had them both running together. And the subtitles on the sub with the kids' voices... while there's absolutely nothing but tense music on the dub. It was really weird. Haomaru fights off Shiro, and both he and Charlotte awaken in time to save the children. Haomaru is happy, but surprised to see the kids had survived the attack. Since he buried every person who died, did he not notice there were like 8 kids missing?
Look, after burying like 100 corpses, do you really think he's going to be thinking about that?
I
was personally very surprised at the fact that he just single-handedly buried everyone. Like, if media has taught me anything, burying people is difficult. And also, I hate the fact that instead of digging a hole, it just seems like he opted for putting sand on top of them instead. It's like, what are you doing?
Hanzo asks the two holy warriors for their help overthrowing Shiro, and they agree. Later, the two holy warriors fly to the fortress, and an attack from Haomaru gets rid of their bindings, holding the rest of the warriors. They fight Shiro on the roof, and she sets fire to them again.
I mean, why change what isn't, why fix what isn't broken, am I right? She failed every other way, but burning them has worked 1 out of 1 times.
It's worked 100% of the time so far. However, on the ground, the people have risen up against the foot soldiers, which puts the fires out. Haomaru stabs Shiro, and the two of them disappear, teleporting into her throne room. The rest have to walk and join them moments later. With Shiro dead, Ambrosia begins to form. They then fly back to the roof. Okay, at one point, Shiro knocks someone off the roof, and they don't just fly back on. It's...
I was so checked out about that point.
I'm not saying they're not allowed to fly. I'm just saying if you're going to make them fly, they should be able to fly.
It should be consistently overpowered. Just look at Goku.
No, they can't fly. They can. They get knocked off. They die, and they reincarnate on the roof again, and they're back.
The poor mothers. They fly back to the roof and attempt to seal the dark god. The dying spirit of Shiro lends them the power to complete the seal. Then there's a time skip, and Hanzo tells the Shogun that he has to rebuild, but without an evil god pulling his strings. They wonder if the holy warriors will ever return, look at the sky, and we get the credits. So the dub has the English credits over a static image, and then after that plays the Japanese credits, whereas the sub just plays the Japanese credits straight away. And the Japanese credits run over what appears to be deleted scenes. They're not bloopers, but maybe the scenes were cut for time or something, but yeah.
Then why add them again? We need to get this running over under 60 minutes. Yes, boss, we'll put it at the end of the credits, apparently.
It doesn't make sense. Why? Because it's not footage of things that happened in the movie. It's things that that happened in between scenes. Anyway, has it made you want to check out Samurai Showdown Neo Geo Collection, the latest collection?
No.
So, okay, that was very eloquent, Gord. Please do elaborate.
I mean, the games are good, but this is a terrible adaptation.
Personally, no. Also, but it's a fighting game series, so it was actually never a consideration. I'm terrible at fighting games. I don't play them.
Yeah, it's pretty much what I was going to answer as well. No, but it's nothing wrong with the anime. It's just, you know, it's a fighting game. If I'm going to play a fighting game, I might as well go play one of the other ones that are really famous.
So is it a Yeta, Nani, or Baka, Arthur?
So, you know, I find this one to be a bit tough because I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it. So, like, I'm going to go for a Nani. It just felt like a bit of a nothing burger. I like the story of reincarnation, the fact that Hamaru seems to have anger issues and really struggled to reconnect with his own incarnation version, but like, we spend most of the anime with Hamaru trying to fight his inner demon, which wasn't a fun way to handle it. So for me, it's just a Nani.
And goes?
It wasn't as fun as some of the bad fighting game adaptations. I'll say Baka. As I said in my opening thing, synopsis, it's very different from the plot of the games. In the games, there's no holy warriors and stuff like that. It's each character has their own distinct story, motivation, side characters. Haomaru is at one point taught by a guy called Caffeine Nicotine. That's real. Like, he is given his sword by his teacher, etc. There's so much more depth to those characters, and here it's like I chose one person from each major ethnicity and put together the Planeteers to fight the evil forces of Ambrosia.
While I kind of enjoyed it, it's still a Nani because, yeah, it's a bit nonsense. So does it deserve its Annie-list score of 50%?
Yeah, I feel like this is one of the most spot-on scores. Like, even something as stupid as 49, I'd be like, no, it feels kind of wrong. I enjoyed it enough, but I'll never watch it again. I'll never recommend anyone ever watches it.
Yeah, that score is fine.
Well, that about brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Arthur and Goz.
Thank you so much for having
us.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGreen.com, find us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Sorodewa, game on.